Day 287, Saturday, November 11th. 1 Samuel 22, 1 Chronicles 12 8-18, Psalm 142, and Psalm 57. 1 Samuel 22 1-23 NKJV David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you, till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold, depart, and go to the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered, now Saul was staying in Gibeah under a tamarisk tree in Ramah, with his spear in his hand, and all his servants standing about him. Then Saul said to his servants who stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me, and there is no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is not one of you who is sorry for me or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me, to lie in wait, as it is this day." Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who was set over the servants of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine." So the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests who were in Nob. And they all came to the king. And Saul said, "Hear now, son of Ahitub." He answered, "Here I am, my lord." Then Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me, to lie in wait, as it is this day?" So Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who among all your servants is as faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law, who goes at your bidding, and is honorable in your house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Far be it from me. Let not the king impute anything to his servant, or to any in the house of my father. For your servant knew nothing of all this, little or much." And the king said, "You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house." Then the king said to the guards who stood about him, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not tell it to me." But the servants of the king would not lift their hands to strike the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, "You turn and kill the priests." So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck the priests, and killed on that day 85 men who wore a linen ephod. Also Nob, the city of the priests, he struck with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and nursing infants, oxen and donkeys and sheep, with the edge of the sword. Now one of the sons of Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priests. So David said to Abiathar, "I knew that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul. I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe." 1 Chronicles 12 8-18 NKJV Some Gadites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness, mighty men of valor, men trained for battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as gazelles on the mountains. Ezra the first, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishmanah the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Attai the sixth, Eliel the seventh, Yohanan the eighth, Elzabad the ninth, Jeremiah the tenth, and Mishbani the 11th. These were from the sons of Gad, captains of the army. The least was over 100, and the greatest was over 1,000. These are the ones who crossed the Jordan in the first month, when it had overflowed all its banks, and they put to flight all those in the valleys, to the east and to the west. Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold, and David went out to meet them, and answered and said to them, "If you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment." Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the captains, and he said, "We are yours, O David, we are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you." So David received them, and made them captains of the troop. Psalms 142 1-7 NKJV. A contemplation of David. A prayer when he was in the cave. I cry out to the Lord with my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him, I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me, no one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord, I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Psalms 57 1-11 NKJV. To the chief musician. Set to do not destroy. A micdom of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Until these calamities have passed by, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it they themselves have fallen. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory, awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Daily Deep Dive. 1 Samuel 22 1-5. The UCG reading program states, David flees from the Philistines of Gath to a cave near the city of Adullam, about 10 miles southeast of Gath and 16 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Nelson Study Bible, note on 1 Samuel 22:1. At first, he is a man who feels all alone with no one to help him. In that forlorn condition, David cries out to God for help and deliverance. It is with these thoughts that David composes Psalm 142. But God answers David's prayer. His family and followers soon gather to him. 1 Samuel 22:1-2. Indeed, an ever-charismatic, inspiring leader, David puts together a militia of fighting men from the tribes of Gad, Benjamin and Judah with powerful captains. We read in 1 Chronicles 12 about the makeup of this force and how God through the Holy Spirit inspires these men to accept David as their leader, verse 18. In 1 Samuel 22:2, we see that this group of men is not some noble knighthood. Rather, they are malcontents, the dregs of society, men on the run like David himself. And yet, they form a rather formidable force of about 400 men that grows to 600. The cave of Adullam being referred to in 1 Chronicles 12 as a stronghold. Realizing that his parents are in imminent danger from King Saul, David asks the king of Moab to provide refuge for them, which is granted, verses 3-4. It is to Moab's advantage that Israel be weakened through an internal power struggle. Furthermore, David's family has Moabite connections, as his father Jesse's grandmother or earlier ancestor was Ruth, a Moabitess, Ruth 1:4, Ruth 4:21-22, Matthew 1:5, and, read, 1 Chronicles 12:8-18 verse 8, the JFB commentary states, a fierce, lion-like countenance, Tusa_1:23, and great agility in pursuit, Tusa_2:18, were qualities of the highest estimation in ancient warfare. Verse 14, John Gill's commentary states, not that they were so when they came, or brought over such a number of men with them under their command, but they were promoted by David, when he came to the throne, to be centurions and chiliarchs. According to Jarchi, the sense is, that the least of them would put to flight and pursue 100, and the greatest of them 1,000, and so fulfilled the passage in Lev_26-8. Psalm 142. The UCG reading program states, Psalm 142 is a maskil, an instructive psalm or contemplation, NKJV, the third prayer in the sequence of five in which David asks for deliverance from persecutors. The occasion here, as the title notes, is when he was in the cave. This could refer to either of two episodes when David fled from King Saul. One was into the cave at Adullam, 1 Samuel 22:1, 1 Samuel 22:4, 16 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And the other was into the cave at En Gedi, 1 Samuel 24:1-22, the oasis near the Dead Sea. Another psalm is linked with the episode at En Gedi, Psalm 57, and that episode does not fit the sense of abject loneliness and abandonment, described in Psalm 142. It appears far more likely that David's time at Adullam is the subject of this psalm, as we will see. David desperately pours out his heart to God. As if the secret plotting against him were not enough, he now feels alone and forsaken, lamenting that there is no one at his right hand, that no one acknowledges him and no one cares about him. Verse 4. The Nelson Study Bible comments, with enemies on every path, David screams to God that he is defenseless. The armed soldier in ancient Israel probably would have had his spear or sword in his right hand and his shield in his left. The shield of one man would protect the right side of his neighbor. David cries that there is no one on his right side. Note on verses 35. The Expositor's Bible commentary adds, the right signifies the place where one's witness or legal counsel stood. Cf. Psalm 16:8. Psalm 109:31, Psalm 110:5, Psalm 121:5, note on verses 3-4. This situation might not at first glance seem to match the details of David's experience at Adullam, for 1 Samuel 22 says that his family gathered to him there and that a large group of malcontents soon banded together there under his leadership. A formidable force of 400 men that later surged to 600, with this base camp being referred to in 1 Chronicles 12 as a stronghold. Yet realize that David first arrived there by himself. We should therefore understand Psalm 142 as describing his feelings between the first and second sentences of 1 Samuel 22:1, before his family and others showed up, when he was all alone. Of course, David understood that he was not totally alone. With no other human being to lean on, David still has someone to turn to. He cries out to God, "You are my refuge," Psalm 142:5. Compare Psalm 46, "And my portion in the land of the living," Psalm 142:5. Thus, even in his despair as a fugitive hiding out in a cave, David still views God as his share in life, which he is still blessed to be living. Moreover, David has faith that God will send help in abundance his way, including a support crowd, verse 7. How wonderful it is to know that this is just what happened not long after David prayed his heartfelt prayer. On top of that, he eventually became the king of Israel. And more important still, he will ultimately share possession of the universe as a divine king in God's eternal royal family, as will all of us who continue to follow God. And 1 Samuel 22:6-23, the UCG reading program states, Saul has become a coercive, wrathful man full of curses for his son and his soldiers, essentially calling them a bunch of dirty double-crossers, verses 7-8. His paranoia indicates that he is losing his grip on reality. Such paranoia often accompanies demonic influence. His jealous and unreasonable anger toward those in his high command reminds one of the aberrations of Hitler and other corrupt rulers of history. Doeg the Edomite, seeking to ingratiate himself with Saul, tells the king what he had witnessed, that the high priest Ahimelech had helped David, verses 9:21-7. Ahimelech explains that he considered David to be a faithful servant of Saul, verse 14. Nevertheless, Saul orders that Ahimelech be put to death along with all of the priests. It is such a heinous order that, to their credit, Saul's men refuse to carry it out, verse 17. But Doeg is up to the gruesome task. He puts to the sword 85 priests, their wives, children and animals. It is interesting to consider here that, although Doeg's actions were inexcusable, God apparently used him to carry out part of the curse he had placed on Eli. Compare 1 Samuel 2:27-36. These priests and their families were probably all Eli's descendants. Only Abiathar escapes, and he will eventually be deposed by Solomon. God often uses unrighteous men and circumstances in carrying out his will. See our article Twist of Fate. Still, Saul proves himself an evil tyrant by this wholesale slaughter. He has done in anger to the many priests of God and their families what he was unwilling to do, at God's command, to Israel's enemy King Agag of the Edomite Amalekites, see 1 Samuel 15. And Saul has committed this atrocity by the hand of an Edomite. He is clearly becoming more and more deranged. But it is David who will feel the burden of responsibility in the matter and suffer the pain of guilt. He laments to Abiathar, the one escapee of Saul's carnage, "It's all my fault. I've caused the death of all your relatives," compare verse 22. In Psalm 52 we see how David brings this unbearable burden to God in prayer, asking God's vengeance on Doeg along with all those who love evil, and to avenge those who love righteousness. David ends his psalm with the sure faith that God will come through, we have only to wait on him. And, Psalm 52, the UCG reading program states, Psalm 52 is a maskil, perhaps meaning instructive psalm or, as the NKJV translates it, contemplation, of David, the first of 4 of these in a row. Recall that Saul then ordered his men to execute Ahimelech and the other priests at Nob, which his men refused to do, whereupon Doeg carried out Saul's order, slaughtering 85 priests plus additional men, women, children, infants and animals living in the city, verses 18 to 19. To the one son who escaped, David lamented that he was to blame for having put the priests in jeopardy, verse 22. In Psalm 52, written on that occasion, David questions the intelligence of any mighty man that would boast about doing evil, since God's love and goodness will not be thwarted. Those who use their tongue for evil, such as in lying and passing on information to hurt innocent people, will be destroyed. Doeg was apparently a wealthy man, verse 7, perhaps having his pockets lined through spying and other misdeeds. Saul may have rewarded him handsomely after his massacre of the priests, yet it is foolish to trust in money and evil accomplishments. This verse connects Psalm 52 with Psalm 49, concerning those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, verse 6. Both Psalms show that this is the way to destruction, in contrast to the wicked, who will be uprooted from the land of the living. Psalm 52:5, David says that he is like an olive tree, verse 8, which lives for hundreds of years. Indeed, planted securely in the house of God, ultimately not the ancient tabernacle but the family and kingdom of God, he and the rest of the saints will flourish under the attentive care of the Master forever and ever, verses 8 to 9. The picture of the righteous as flourishing green trees ties back to the imagery of Psalm 1. And